Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
All right, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. For decades, African Americans and others have either heard of or passionately celebrated Black History Month. That's what we call it today. However, it seems that not many people really understand just how and why the United States government involved itself in the process and decided to make it a formal period of celebration in the United States of America. This is one of the many powerful lessons of history that can offer positive examples for at-risk youth across America and specifically throughout urban America. So join me today, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, on Talk Straight, as we share the meaning and intended purpose of what we call Black History Month, starting this February 1st, 2021. All right? We'll offer some active lessons that will lead to proactive and transformative change. Again, that will focus on helping not just Blacks, but even whites as we move forward in 2022. We need some unity now across the country. And it helps by particularly African Americans understanding that you have what it takes and you can be a part of the American dream and promise. All right? Our topic tonight, the father of Black History Month, Dr. Carter Goodwin Woodson, born in 1875 and transitioned in 1950. Give me a call here in the studio on blogtalkradio.com. The number to call is 657-383-0944. If perchance you're following us on Facebook Live, I would prefer you call us. We would love to. You don't necessarily have to give your name or identify you in that regard. We typically refer to you by the last four digits of the phone number that you call in on, either the first three or the last four, to help you know that you're on live and you're speaking. You have the floor. But give us a call, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call in the studio tonight. I'd love to entertain you. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to our topic and that we show respect and courtesy to one another. Even if we have diverging views, can you believe that? That happens? Yeah, all the time, all the time. That makes for good dialogue, and it creates the perfect opportunity for us to have a balanced conclusion as we move forward. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Hopefully our co-host will join us here, Pastor Ricky Walla, as well as our regular callers here. But either way, we thank you. We invite you to join us tonight, and I will begin with our monologue. You know what our topic is, the father of Black History Month. We're talking about Dr. Carter Goodwin Woodson, who is responsible for what we today call Black History Month. And you know, in February, all month is the time that we look at it. Some people say, you know, Black History is every month. I agree. I concur. But just like every other national holiday and moments that's been set aside for specific recognition, you'll find tonight, around 1970 or so, President Ford, using his executive powers as the President of the United States, saw fit to carve out 28 days. Yes, that's the shortest month in the year. Sometimes in a leap year, I understand it's 29 days. But nonetheless, you'll find out why initially this month was chosen and the key figures that factored into it. All right? All right, February 1st. Wow, can you believe that? 2022. We're here. Let's get to it. Monologue. Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter in the 14th verse, reads like this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal and forgive, their sins and will heal their land. I think that provides a wonderful opportunity for a second chance for anybody. But he said, if my people, this is God himself speaking as documented in the Holy Writ. I think it's apropos to where we are today and on this February 1st, 2022. A lot has happened over the last 2 years. And some would argue over the last decade or better, things have been rough. But beloved, there is an opportunity for us to make change. But there are conditions to change. All right? History is the best way to understand from whence you come, how you got where you are, and whither you're traveling. All right? Let's get to it. Carter Goodwin Woodson was an American historian, an author, a journalist, and the founder of what was called the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History. He was one of the first scholars to study Negro history specifically. A founder of the Journal of Negro History in 1916 is where he began to document and compile these things. Woodson had been cited as the, quote, father of Black history, end quote. He was born in Buckingham County, Virginia, December 19, 1875. The son of former slaves. Yes, James and Eliza Riddle Woodson. His father helped Union soldiers during the Civil War, and he moved his family to West Virginia when he found out that Huntington, Virginia, was building a school for blacks. That was the value of education his father had. Coming from a large and poor family, Woodson could not regularly attend school. You know the tradition. They had to help with the sharecropping and things of that nature, chores. around the plantations. Through self-instruction, though, he mastered the fundamentals of common school, all of the various subjects that were being taught, you know, the content, curriculum. Unconsciously, he taught himself. And by the age of 17, he mastered those things. Now, desiring to have even more education, he went to Fayette County to earn a living as a miner in the coal fields and was able to devote a few months of each year, not the whole year, but a few months out of every year to formal schooling. In 1895, at the age of 20, now this is interesting right here, Woodson entered Douglas High School. Did you get that? He started high school. Most people start at 14, and some of them that are younger, 13, right? But he started at 20. He received his diploma less than 2 years, though. I told you earlier that he self-educated himself. He desired education, but his circumstances held him back. From 1897 to around 1900, Woodson taught at Winona in Fayette County. In the 1900s, he was selected as the principal of Douglas High School. Isn't that something? He earned his Bachelor of Literature degree from a college out of Kentucky called Berea College. That college is still there to this day. I had the pleasure of visiting it and seeing it. Very powerful place, and the interesting way they charge their tuition. You work for it, basically. But he got this degree in 1903 from Berea College in Kentucky. Now, by taking classes part-time between 1901 and 1903, he was able to finish his undergraduate degree. Woodson later attended the University of Chicago, where he was awarded a AB and an AM in around 1908. Okay? He completed his PhD, Doctor of Philosophy, in History at Harvard University in 1912. See what I mean? Determined, despite his circumstances. He went on to become the second African-American, or Negro as they called him at that time, after William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, to earn a doctorate degree. How about that? All right. So let's talk about Black History Month and what motivated, what drove it. The precursor to Black History Month was created around 1926 in the U.S. See, when Woodson, this historian, and the Association of Study of Negro Life and History had announced the second week of February to be dedicated to Negro History Week, he immersed himself in the study of Negro history and all of the circumstances from the coming over here as slaves to understanding what happened during the Civil War and post-Civil War, right? And he wanted to understand those things. So he thought it necessary to create a period of time that particularly Negroes, if no one else, should focus on that. Created what was called Negro History Week through his association. This week was chosen, though, specifically because it coincided with the birthdays of two central figures, Abraham Lincoln, who was said to be the emancipator. I know there's argument about that, and we can talk about that tonight when you call me. his birthday was on February 12th, and Frederick Douglass, which birthday is on February 14th. Douglass being the father of Negro voting rights. We're going to spend a little time the rest of this month focusing on Frederick Douglass. In fact, the 8th of this month, Tuesday the 8th, we're going to focus on Frederick Douglass. And on the 15th, we'll look at W.E.B. Du Bois. And we'll parlay his works with the works of William Taliaferro Washington on the 22nd of this month. All right, but lest I digress too much, what I want you to understand is that Woodson and the association chose these February week in between those two. All right? Now, they celebrated this in the late 1900s because of the reasons I just explained. From the event's initial phase, though, primary emphasis was placed on encouraging and coordinating the teaching of history of now what we call African Americans in the nation's public schools. I'm not sure what kind of grade we will get on that today. But I would argue that that lesson begins at home, then extends secondarily through our social institutions, i.e. the church. And possibly then it can be reinforced in public schools or private schools. But again, I'll argue that it starts at home, teaching about who you are, what your purpose is, what your identity is. Just absolutely nothing wrong with that. Our Irish brothers do it. Our Greek brethren do it. Our Jewish brethren do it. Our Catholic brethren. Everyone does that because that's how you sustain culture. All right? Black History Month was first proposed by educators, black, Negro, black, colored, African-American educators. These were people at the United States, in the United States, that were at Kent State University. Somewhere around February of 1969, they began this movement, this drive. The first celebration of Black History Month, the whole month, took place at Kent State 1 year later in 1970. 6 years later, what they found about 1976, the bicentennial celebration of the United States of America, is that it had grown in popularity and it was being celebrated all across the country in educational institutions, which was a good thing. Where you had centers of black culture or centers of community centers and things of that nature, both great and small. And this caught the attention of President Gerald Ford in 1976, the bicentennial of American history. And he decided, hey, this is a good time during the bicentennial celebration of America to celebrate this other historical event, Black History Month. So he urged Americans to seize that opportunity and to honor what he said was too often neglected accomplishments of people of Afro descent in America, or Negro descent. Interestingly enough, in the 70s, there was a battle between now transitioning to Afro-American and Negro American, or being black. The 60s brought about blackness and power, really the Harlem Renaissance throughout the 60s. That's another conversation. We won't get in the weeds on that. But nonetheless, President Ford said, look, let's deem this time an appropriate time, a whole month, the month of February. Let's take it from just 2 weeks to a whole month. All right, 4 weeks. To teach African American history. Now, here's the thing. Neither President Ford nor other Americans around the country who believed in that, who supported it, can uphold that and maintain it. It was up to the people who were the benefactors of it. That's Negro, black, colored, Afro, African American. You and me. It's up to us. Even today in 2022, what Black History Month or Negro History Month or African American History Month, however you want to place it, whatever it means, it's up to you in 2022. That happens to be my annual slogan this year. It's up to you in 2022. You have the control over that. All right? I would do like Ford did and Woodson did and encourage us to take advantage of that. So one of the most powerful works, arguably, of Dr. Woodson. He had a lot of them. He was with the Association of Negro History and and penned a lot of very powerful articles and things of that nature in the journals. But one of his most powerful works, I would argue, and perhaps you're familiar with this, is a book entitled The Miseducation of the Negro. Originally published in 1933, Dr. Woodson's thesis is that Negroes, and that's what they were called during his time, were being culturally indoctrinated rather than being taught in American schools. Now, keep in mind, he did not start high school until 20, but he was able to make this observation. Negroes were not learning the things that would empower them to be fully integrated in America, but he argued that they were being indoctrinated to a certain role. This conditioning, he claims, a social conditioning, caused Negro or Black or African American to become dependent and to seek out inferior places throughout the country and in their lives in society. Right? Not to seek to own their own businesses, by and large, or to control their subcultural context and destiny, but to fuse themselves with some other larger group and to get lost in it. Thesis is very much real in 2022. And I say that with all due respect, and I began with myself. But here's what he challenged. Even then, in 1933, in the first publication of the book, it's been republished a few times. I think the second one was in 1947, and subsequently there were several other renditions of it. John Hope Franken, I believe, done some things with it and others. Here's what he challenged, though. This is the challenge to you and me, African Americans. Okay. He wanted the readers to become autodidactic. What does that mean, Dr.? That means to be self-driven in your learning, to educate yourself. Don't be satisfied with simply what someone says to you, but seek knowledge for yourself. And let me tell you something. That coincides with the text for the day, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and take action, that's what that means. Pray, seek my face, turn from whatever is keeping you back, whatever's holding you back. You understand what I'm saying? And if they will do these things, then I can hear from heaven, I can forgive them, and I can heal them. Are y'all walking with me tonight? I hope so. I'm open the floor in just a minute. But Woodson even taught and challenged us to be self-driven in your learning. You can see in this history that's how he was. I taught in the public schools on high school level, grades 9 through 12. And I had several classes this particular year when I was there teaching. And I had this book, The Miseducation of the Negro, because I wanted to teach from it and encourage, particularly in the social studies class that I taught. I was a resource, especially a resource teacher, so I taught across the curriculum. But when I taught social studies and related things, I use this book as one of my teaching tools. Make a long story short, it sat on my desk for a whole year. And I've had people fight over around the desk, folk to come steal my lunch off the desk, to knock other things off my computer to include that. But this book never moved all year long. And every day I would come in, I would look to see if it was in the same place. In between it, on the pages where this quote by Dr. Woodson was a brand new $100 bill, a Benjamin, All they had to do was open up the book, knock the book down, and the pages would have opened, the money would have fell out. Somebody could have got rich. Are you walking with me? Never happened to have stayed there. Here's what it says. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. You do not have to tell him not to stand here or go yonder. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one for his special benefit. His education makes it necessary, end quote. Lord God, this is where the $100 bill laid. It stayed there all year long. At the end of the year, my challenge to my students was to tell me, why didn't somebody get rich off of Mr. Dockery? They want to know what you mean. What you mean, Mr. Dockery? What you mean? And then I picked the book up and I opened it up. And out came a brand new Benjamin $100 bill. Oh, if we had known. Yes, I wanted somebody to make my pockets lighter. But it didn't happen. Powerful book. When we see young people in the streets today who struggle and who complain about not having and things of that nature, it makes me wonder, where's your curiosity? Where's your drive to learn, to be, to live, to create, and to make what you want for yourself? Where is it? Who stole it from you? Oh, you're listening to Talk Straight tonight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're talking from the topic, the father of Black History Month, Dr. Carter G. Wilson. Give me a call right now, 657-383-0944. Pick up the phone and call me right now. All right? I'm looking for you. 657-383-0944. You don't have to wait no longer. Let's talk about it. The father of Negro history, Carter G. Wilson. Listen to what the OJ said. This is a very powerful thing. Again, you listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. 657-383-0944. Give us a call. Topic tonight, the father of Negro or Black History Month, Dr. Carter G. Wilson. That's our focus. Give me a call. Give me a call right now, 657-383-0944. I'm going to keep on going until you get with me. Facebook, you feel me? Anybody feel me tonight? Maybe you disagree with me. Educate me. Help me understand this like I'm 3 years old. I want y'all to break it down to me now because I don't want to go wrong. I'm trying to get to heaven, huh? I've been sending up my timber, and I don't want to miss my ma. Is that right, bro, Pastor? I got my friend on here, Pastor Ricky Waller. He's joining. Pastor, you going to help me to get where I need to go, ain't you? Won't you do that tonight?
Well, that's something that's valuable to you, and I know that could be done. So, yeah, we're going to get it done.
Okay, yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm glad you're here, man. I'm glad you're here because, man, I've been talking about. Yes, sir. It's always good to have you. I've been talking about me and my people and how Black History Month came about. You and I have talked about this before. about the fact that that should be every day. Is that right, Pastor? That should be every
day.
Yeah,
I haven't changed yet, so I know it. I can't wait no once a year to celebrate it. I know it. You know.
Yeah.
I just know the time has come for us to be awakened.
Watch it now.
And,
watch it now.
You know, when you have been awakened to some things, certain things just don't, you know, they don't continue to go as it once did. And so yeah, it's tough. It's tough, man, because it's a here go your day right here. You know, take this day and
well, it's all month.
Go back
to we get 28 days, man. And on leap year we get 29. Don't you feel good about that?
Hey man, look here. Hey, it's always a starting point to it too, man. So when it started out today, huh?
Well, it was a week at first. Yeah, it was a week at first. It was a week. 14 days. And then your president, our president, man, Gerald Ford said, look what they're doing at Kent State and all around the country. Let me go and make this official. We'll make it Black History Month. Give you the whole month, February. Shortest month of the year, but it's yours.
Amazing.
You don't appreciate that, man.
I didn't know what was going on. They don't say you playing. I didn't know what was going on when you said that. And that's new to me, man.
Okay.
I never ever actually got off into it like that. But, man, that's amazing.
I understand.
You say they gave it to us, huh?
Well, President Ford, he used the resolute desk and executive authority of the Office of the United States President to say, in fact, in 1976, you know, that was America's bicentennial year, the first 200 years. He said, listen, guess what we're going to make? We're going to make this celebration of the contributions and the actions of Negro, Black, and colored folks from time's beginning up to now. We're going to make this officially their whole month to think about it. Now, I got a question, though, when you get through, Pastor. I got a question. I'm going to be quiet and listen, but I do have a question, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I know the answer to it, but, man, it seems already that it's a lot going on because when you say that they've made it official, and I'm like, oh, that right there is a tough situation, but I guess, you know, when you don't know, you know, you'll continue to do the same thing.
Uh-oh.
That's what I found out. That's
Uh-oh.
What I found out, man.
Right. And check this out, preacher. Gerald Ford is dead. Been dead for a long time. Right?
Okay.
And 1776, over 50 years now, right? That day ain't gonna ever come back again, is it? Almost 50 years.
Yeah,
that day ain't going to ever come back again, is it?
Yeah, I don't even know who the guy is myself, sir. I don't know. Yeah, I'm so
y'all
lost,
ain't know
man.
Who the guy is. What?
Man, I'm so lost. I'm just glad to be free from what I was caught up into, you know. So I never focus on the guys or nothing like that. No,
understood.
I mean, not to belittle them, but I just never focus on them. And, and like I said, I guess I was captured for so long, I didn't even know who I was.
Well, what were you doing? Let me ask you this. I don't mean to cut you off, but what were you doing in 1976? What were you doing on a daily basis, Pastor? I think I know the answer, but what were you doing?
I was in the drug game and, you know,
I see.
Getting high, things like that.
I see.
I just
were you think...
playing basketball.
Wow.
I was 75, I was playing basketball, you know, I just graduated, so.
Okay.
Straight on full force to the streets, man.
Wow. So you weren't thinking about education. You weren't thinking about forward progress, upward mobility. You weren't thinking about none of that, were you?
No, I had received letters and things from colleges, but I didn't care about that stuff.
Is that right?
Because,
talk to me a little bit more about that. You said you got letters from colleges? Now, tell us, if you don't mind, share that with us, Pastor.
Yeah, Belmont, Lipscomb, you know, different colleges was calling on me. And,
wow.
I mean, they just felt like I had something to offer, but I didn't know it. I didn't know who I was. So I didn't know who I was, man.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how powerful. That's how powerful it is to not know. That's why I said, you know, if you've been given something and then you find out later, you know, what was the purpose of it?
Right.
You can't have 365 days.
Watch this, man. Wait a minute, man. Come on, man. You know, that's, you want all them, man?
No, I just need a day.
You want to give you one day? The words
say that this is the day that the Lord has made. So I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to speak your language now, Bryce. I'm going to speak your language. You made reference to this construct in your book, your first book, Still High. Here's the trap.
Yeah.
Watch this now. Now, as much as I respect and appreciate Dr. Carter G. Woodson for his contribution to not just America, but Afro-American history in America, okay? As a historian myself, I appreciate that, brother. But here was the trap. And he kind of hinted to it. Let me tell you what he said. Let me tell you what he said, Pastor. Let me reiterate what he said. He hinted to it. He saw the trap.
Okay.
He saw the trap himself.
All right.
Watch this. Watch the trap. And he wrote this in his book, Miseducation of the Negro. When you control a man's thinking, he said, quote, when you control a man's thinking, you do not have to tell him, or you don't have to worry about his action. Did you catch that, Pastor?
Yeah.
Catch that?
That's right.
Watch what else he said. Right. You do not have to tell him not to stand here or to go yonder. He said, he will find his proper place and stay in it. I'm describing the trap, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Now watch this. I ain't done yet. Hold on. Stay with me, big brother. Stay with me. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact,
that's right.
In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut a door.
Yeah, that's right.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Huh? He will cut one for his special benefit. And his training, his education makes it necessary for him to do it. Now, watch this. You said we should every day, 365 days. Guess who has an opportunity to teach their children about their identity, their history, their purpose, their direction, their focus? Guess who have the opportunity to teach them that every day of their life? Their parents. Help us, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. That's it. That's great. Yeah, that's valuable there.
Do we need a president to tell the parent that, though?
If you know who what, I don't agree with that. I never really knew who they were, no way. So it didn't.
Right.
I never met one. I never met one. So there's certain things that I just don't think it's fair for me to, you know, to fall into a deeper trap than I just got out of. And then I start giving, you know, some props to places where they don't deserve the props. I mean, so what I'm thinking about is still going on, and, you know, there's a lot of harm being done on as a result of it. So I don't see nothing being done, really. To me, that's personal. It's nothing against the people. It's just that I know that, you know, if it was a real concern, then certain things would not continue.
I see. Who should do that then, Pastor? Talk to me. Let's pull the cover off and let's expose who should be, who is not. If I'm guilty, call me out. Call me out today.
Yeah.
Who should be doing
that? Well, you surely know it starts at home and the people that's, you know, reaching out to, you know, for help. You know, you got a lot of churches around that they, you know, supposed to have knowledge of certain things that's required, and that is to go out into the world and encourage the people. And so if people that's growing up and doing the best they can and don't know any better, it's hard to blame them because the trap is supposed to get them, or the majority anyway. You know, everybody's not going to get caught in the trap, but the majority will get caught in the trap if that's the purpose and the plan. The word says that the enemy comes to do certain things.
That's right.
And
that's
so
that's
if
right.
he comes He'll to do certain things, and yeah, if he get that done, then it's like, how did that happen? You know, a person that's innocent didn't just say, hey, I want to get in the trap. I know I didn't, but I ended up in one. So my parents did the best they could with what they had. And,
okay.
You know, as I said, and so when I found out how my mother was mistreated, when I found out that, you know, hey, man, I didn't take that too well because, you know, she didn't get a chance to let me know that that's what was going on, you know, so. Yeah, man. So there's certain things that I think I appreciate what she did, but she did the best she could with what she had, and she set a real good example for me, you know, to acknowledge. And I still hear her voice now saying, "Don't you turn back now." This thing's pretty heavy. And I'm walking around here with this awareness of some things that's going on and it hadn't stopped. So. You know, should I just get with what everybody else is getting with and just say, hey, well, that's
interesting.
That's what they say. You can do this on this day. You can do this on this day. I mean, that sounds like control to me.
Say what? So that sounds like some control to you, huh? Okay.
That's just to me. Like I said, it's personal. There's nothing against nobody else. But it is. Sounds just like control to me. And I've been controlled before. You know, that's the thing. And I'm sure a lot of people have. But
okay.
I didn't enjoy that. You know, once I got free,
I didn't enjoy it. Not good. Well, now, okay. You're not. How should I conclude? How should I take what you're saying? How should we, in your view, how do you think we should approach the idea of even thinking about celebrating, recognizing, teaching, encouraging the advancements, contributions of blacks and over the years, or African American, or do you think that's necessary, or how do you think we should go by doing it then? What I'm hearing you say is we shouldn't get caught in the trap of this given month, Black History Month, because it's really not showing, it's not being profitable or fruitful. Over the years, and I have to agree with you, if that's your premise, I have to agree with you that what we haven't seen much from it, man. Because our young people are killing each other like crazy out here, man. You understand what I'm saying? It sure ain't stopped that.
No, it hasn't, brother. I got a funeral coming up, I got to call for somebody just got killed. I don't even know what happened, I don't even know where it was, or I just
really
called on me.
Hmm.
You know, things like that. So I'm not really rejoicing about all the things that I know that's bringing forth more harm.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because control is power. Control, you know, it has an advantage. And a lot of people don't know it. I mean, of course, I didn't know it. So I know that, you know, a lot of people don't know about that. I mean, unless the word says, unless Satan gets the advantage over us, but we are not ignorant of his devices. So if he got the advantage, then that's what he's supposed to do.
Okay. Well, he's going to do
what I say he has. Huh?
So I was just going to say, I agree with you. What I've learned is the one we call the devil, Satan, he's going to do his thing. You ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
even if the so-called Christians don't do that, he's going to take care of his business. He's handling his business, man, every day. Yeah. Huh?
By all means, brother.
Yes, sir.
And as I say, that's what he's supposed to do. And if people do what they are supposed to do, you know, things will get better, I'm sure.
There's
some things that ought to be done, but it's just something about when you don't have, you know, the necessary things that would cause you to be able to make a difference. That's one thing. Then you got those that have things that can make a difference but refuse to do something with it. So you got a lot, a lot going on.
Yeah, oh, it is. That's why I'm posing the question, because this month we will be having future topics. I announced that in the monologue that we're going to look at Frederick Douglass, the contribution, the works of Frederick Douglass, because I think there are some missed opportunities there, personally. We're going to look at William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. You know, there are some things he tried to offer, Pastor, that was designed to help improve and uplift the lives of former slaves, you know, and as well as Booker T. Washington. Each of these men tried to offer something. Brother Carter G. Woodson tried to encourage us to be self-learned and driven to learn, to improve our lives. So that's the focus, and we're having dialogue. And by the way, you listen to Talk Straight. It's Talk Straight. If you're following us on Facebook, go ahead and call me, 657-383-0944. I promise you, I ain't going to bite you. Promise you. And we want to give you the floor. We want to hear from you. You've heard, perhaps, if you heard our monologue, you heard some things I put on the floor. You might not agree with them. I want to hear from you, though. But somebody need to hear this tonight. See, what I know is that our children are going 12 years in public schools, coming out, and they still can't read and they can't write. Help us, Holy Ghost. And many of them, this is not a knock on them now, because somebody got paid all 12 years they were in school. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Somebody got paid.
Sure.
They still can't compete. And here's what happens, Brother Preacher. They find themselves in a position where they don't have hands-on skills to do for themselves, but they got their hands in the air and surrender. See, that's the problem. Education, public education, is somewhere around $300 billion industry every year spent. $300 billion, that's with a B, is spent in public education. That's a lot of money. But yet, babies, particularly young Afro-American males, more than any other subgroup, find themselves, if they don't go to college, they wind up going to the grave or to jail four times more than their white male counterparts. You see, so what that tells me, friends, is that even though we have 4 weeks of February to honor, to teach, to recognize, promote very good things and contributions, not just by these men I made reference to, but others. Pastor Wally, you ought to be celebrated Black history. Somebody ought to know about the flip side. Somebody ought to know about Bill Hack. Somebody ought to know about New Way Outreach Ministry and all the lives that it has. It has touched. It can touch. See, that's what I'm talking about, right? Every day is living history. We're living history every day. Are you with me?
Well, you know, that's just amazing, because that's the truth, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It should. It definitely should. But you got those that don't want them to know about it.
What? Say what? Now, come on now. Sure enough. Say it ain't so fast.
It's a lot of that going on. You know, I just, just on yesterday, you know, I got 30 years I've been delivered on yesterday. Delivered from drugs, you know. 30 years, man. I mean,
all right.
And I wasn't able to stay straight for 30 minutes.
So that was the time in your life, huh?
Yeah, that was a time, brother. That was a time.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to know that it can be done. That's the thing.
Sure. We are having what is called an academic discussion right now. And what does that mean, Doctor? That means that there's something to be learned. There's some instructional basis here. So let me go back to one of the greatest instructions I can think of, Pastor Waller. I appreciate you being here with me. And again, listening audience, 657-383-0944. I know we're talking about African-American or Black history, but we're talking about, more importantly, the context of people who have been called, are called, identified as African-American, Black, Negro at one time, colored even, right? But you have to define yourself. And I would argue this, Pastor. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways.
That's it.
Then I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Pastor, I think a lot of good people don't do better because they feel guilty about their past, and they feel like they're not worthy. Are you walking with me, Pastor? But guess what God himself said in 2 Chronicles 7:14? Under certain conditions, if you would do certain things, you don't have to feel guilty no more. You don't have to live in shame, and you don't have to doubt that I love you. Are you with me, Pastor?
That's the word. That's what it said. That's good news. That's real good news, man.
Can I tell you where the trap has got my people? And I'm not just talking about Black people. I'm talking about white folk, too. Can I tell you how the trap has got them? One of the conditions is, one of the conditions is you got to humble yourself. My God. That's a barrier for many of us, Pastor, to be humble.
Yeah, man, that's a deep thing that's to become that. If you're not that and you don't know the value of it, that's going to be a tough situation. But it can be done.
Most certainly can be done. It's necessary to be healed and to be forgiven by God.
Yes, sir.
If the text is right, Dan, it's necessary. Not only can it be done, but it's absolutely necessary. And I'm talking now to my brothers and sisters in the church. That's who I'm talking to now. Let me talk straight. See, if we were to do these things, and I'm not saying you by yourself or me by myself, but collectively, Pastor, over there in Dodge City, over there in Preston Taylor, over there in University Court. Come on, let me just go and get this. Go to Chicago. Go on over to Chicago. Go on to New York.
Yes.
Go on to Philadelphia. Go on to New Orleans. If we would collectively humble ourselves, what's wrong with, what do you mean humble, Doctor? We proud people. That's your problem. That's part of our problem. We're proud in the mess collectively that we keep up. Help me, Holy Ghost. And if we're humble enough to let that mess go, then we can watch what the other part of the text said, Pastor. It said, pray. Pray.
Yeah.
Watch it now. What is prayer? Prayer is a conversation, a communication, a dialogue. You humble yourself and you go before God himself, Jehovah Elohim.
That's right.
Communicate with him.
That's it.
And seek him out.
Exactly.
Man, we can end the bloodshed in the Black community. We can end it. We can end dope in the Black community. We can end prostitution in the Black community. We can end degradation and shame and despair and all of these social ills. We can end it. We can end broken homes in the Black community. My God.
Most certainly.
But who want to do that, Pastor, in 2022? You know anybody want to do that?
I tell you, it's not something that's hard to do. It's just something that's not being done.
Absolutely. Now,
seem hard to do, most definitely, because it hadn't been done. So, that's the tough part. Just haven't been done. It seems hard to do.
Okay. All right. So now what? We're going to do it? I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. I know I'm preaching to the choir. 657-383-0944. Call me. That's the number to call. It's all right. All right. I know you hear me. I know you hear me. Here's the thing. There are a lot of people and places who want answers. But now when you hear the answer, guess what you got to do? Now take that information, process it. What do you mean by process it, Doctor? Break it down and ask yourself, what's the good, what's the bad, what's for me, what's not for me, what can I use and what I can't use? That's what I mean by process it. And then you got to make a choice. How you going to use that information? I submit to you that many of us are afraid to come out of our comfort zone. We done got comfortable. See? It done got a little bit better for it, Pastor. You understand what I'm saying?
A little bit better.
You with me? It done got a little bit. I done figured out how to at least go in the house, turn the lights on, and keep the heat on for a little while. Help me, Holy Ghost. And look, Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff, it'll keep me entertained. Can I talk straight tonight, Pastor?
Well, it's best that way.
Huh?
It's best that way. It's much better.
Figured out how to get me a cell phone and entertain myself to where I don't really have to do a lot of thinking. I ain't got to do no complex idealizing things, because most of the times the 30-minute or hour show I looked at or two-hour movie I looked at, it set up a problem, huh? It broke it down and it solved it for me in that time I've been watching. So I ain't got to do no more thinking.
Amazing.
Ain't that something?
Amazing. Yeah, it's amazing how that actually works. And that goes back to the purpose of the plan for that to work. Certain things have to be done.
Yeah.
In order for it to work. And that's absolutely what's happening. That's what's going on. We got favorite movie that's gonna come on and people are prepared to watch it.
And they ain't gonna do nothing else while that movie is on. Huh? You think I'm lying, though? You think I'm lying? I have called some good brothers, Pastor. I've called some good brothers that I know, and I've asked them to come join me in some conversations. But you know what the problem was? They've told me. Well, you know, and at the time it was during the college basketball season in March Madness.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Why don't we get together after March Madness? Because you know everybody gonna be tuned in, and ain't nobody gonna really be paying attention to what you're talking about. I said what?
Oh man.
I said what?
Oh man.
Here we are in 2022 now. Come on, big brother. I'm talking about March Madness. It's everyday madness. It's everyday is madness. Yeah. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah, man. Man, that is something, brother. That is definitely something there.
That's just an example of what I'm talking about. It seems to be there's always a favorite TV show or something on that you don't have time to make that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look up in another month, another 3 months, another 6 months, another year is gone. Here we are on February 1st, 2022. It looked like we just got here yesterday.
Man, that's amazing.
I don't know why she did it, but there was a sweet young girl, apparently by all measures, a sweet young girl who was a lawyer, won the 2019 beauty pageant, you know. One would argue she had it going on for us. Jumped out of a window of a hotel in New York the other day and killed herself.
Oh, Man, so I hate to hear that.
Hey. Beautiful young lady. Beautiful young lady.
Mm.
Now, what are you saying, Doctor? What are you saying, Doctor? What are you saying, Doctor? I'm telling you that we better make time because she ain't the only one that's struggling out there. We better make time. Or else we'll have people that nobody really knows because they don't win pageants and they don't get to go to law school and get a law degree. And they don't get to be recognized by everybody, but they're losing their lives. We better make time.
Right, okay.
We had better make time. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
That is something.
Yes, it is.
Make time.
You better.
Mm-hmm.
That
is
killed herself in the car the other night. It's really unfortunate. It broke my heart to hear that. 17 years old, Pastor. 17 years old. It don't matter if you're black or white. It bothers me, especially particularly African American, but it's sad to hear even white children or anybody else that's caught up like 17 years old, man, flying. Killed herself.
17. Man, hell, you know, it's a lot to be able to just embrace those thoughts of that heavy, when I say heavy, the heavy thought,
mm-hmm.
that being in existence, that it's going on,
yes,
that it's still happening, and you're talking about
right.
that, no matter how we look at it, it's still going on. And you say 17. That's
right.
Heavy, man.
Yeah, that is. That's awful.
I remember, you know, being 17, I understand what it's like to be able to say, I remember when I was 17, what I was caught up into and things, man. And it's still happening. It's happening more so now than ever.
Sure it is, unfortunately. Very much so. And the latest statistic I read is that among that age group, particularly for African Americans, the number one threat to their life is homicide. Then car accidents.
The number one threat
to their life is homicide. That means somebody else taking your life.
Yeah, man.
And we better make some time. We got St. Louis joining us here. We're talking St. Louis from the topic, the father of Black History Month. And you know that, I'm sure, Dr. Carter Goodwin Woodson, this brother's contributions. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight. Question or comment thus far?
Well, should not the history be taught about what's going on today that people is contributing to this great nation? I hear people making reference of individuals that live across the street from them.
Okay.
Well, how in the heck am I supposed to know about somebody that lives across the street from anyone in this country? If you was trying to cover that, you'd be doing so from now until the proverbial kingdom comes. Don't you think?
Okay. Well, I think I follow where you're going. Are you saying that because history is made every day by people's actions, that you can't keep up with it and you can't share it fast enough? Is that what you're saying? Is it moving in real time? Is that what I'm
saying? You shouldn't have to be carrying it fast enough in an institution of learning, but that's why I come. There should be an option for people to take their children out of these environments and put them where they think is best for them.
Interesting.
I don't want my child. Now, how in the world are you going to study a particular ethnic group's history, quote-unquote, when you got multiple ethnic groups in the classroom? So do you give them all equal time?
I see where you go. Okay. That's an interesting point. And this is why I would argue, St. Louis, that the proper place for cultural identity and purpose-driven teaching and what have you, the perfect place for that starts at home. See, in a traditional public school setting, their primary function is to teach the state curriculum, not to teach culture and to teach values and things of that. That's not their primary job. They're to teach reading, math, science, and things of that nature. That's what they're supposed to do. Social studies.
And the state curriculum is the state being the constituents of their school district, i.e. the parents,
okay,
and stakeholders.
Sure.
They the ones that have the dictums over what should be taught.
Okay.
This is what we're seeing today, where school boards don't follow the directions and commands and wishes of their constituents,
even
to defy and expose to children what parents don't want them to be exposed to. It's totally hypocritical. And to me, it's a cardinal sin, and it needs to be punished, gotten rid of.
Okay.
I agree with you. It should be taught in homes.
Okay.
And let the churches or whatever gathering that people convene, let them take on also the added agenda of teaching whatever history they want to be taught.
All right.
People volunteer too.
It's a great point. Now, Pastor Wall and I were just talking about how he said he wasn't really aware of it. But it was Gerald Ford, who in 1976 used the powers of the president to formally recognize Black History as a month, right? And he saw how at Kent State this was being promulgated and promoted, you know, and it grew, and it started happening all over U.S. and community centers and colleges and places of learning, so forth. And hey, look, we should recognize those things. But going back to the thing, I asked Pastor Wallace, and I'll pose that question to you. Who should be teaching that? Is that the duty of the president? Is that the duty of an elected official? Or you understand what I'm saying? Somebody
the
external
president,
to the family? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The president has no jurisdiction over no local school district. None whatsoever. You know, and that's another thing that goes to show you the ignorance of people, especially your cousins.
Those are my people now.
If your cousins look out the back window and see a tree fell across the alley, the first thing they want to do is call the president at the White House. Hey, I got a tree down in my alley. Can you get it taken care of?
Okay.
That's because of their ignorance and understanding how government works, especially along the lines of separation of power. The president has no control over your local school district.
Well,
none.
Really have no control over your quality of life, right? And
absolutely.
That is a right extended to every American citizen. Pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as you so choose. But without getting into weeds of that, one of the things I discussed in the monologue was how Dr. Woodson pointed out the process of miseducating. He specifically identified the Negro, right? And how, as opposed to learning how to be self-sufficient, independent in thought and action, that they were only being trained to a certain purpose and role. What say you to that in 2022, St. Louis?
Hang on there. Well, go ahead to Pastor. Somebody just called me.
Okay, go ahead. All right, so Pastor, we've kind of covered this already. Is it important, I'll rephrase the question to you, Pastor, is it important that people seek to not just work in a certain capacity or function that society wants you to, but you find your own, you cut your own path in life? How important is that, Pastor Wong? That was essentially what was behind my question to St. Louis.
Well, I always have said this, and I, you know, said in 76 what I was doing, you know, my head was bowed down. them. So I couldn't see nothing. I didn't even raise up my bow down head at that point. But here it is today, from what I heard you read earlier, scripture says in Second Chronicles, you understand? You said it said, if my people were called by my name, that's right.
Yes, sir. Yes,
humble themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said his people. Everybody's not his people. See, that's the thing about it. So it has nothing to do with what your opinion is. And, you know, if you got an opinion, that means, you know, your opinion does not have the weight that when you got the one who created everything in this world, I'm talking about places that a person can go, no matter how far you can see, how high you think you can go or how low you are, you know, I'm appreciative of knowing that he said in his word, if my people who are called by my name, then first of all, humble themselves and pray. And that's the thing about it. Seek his face, you know, turn from your wicked ways. He said, then when I hear from heaven and see or hear their land, you know, and things like that. So if that is being applied, the land would be healed.
I'm back, Mr. Ruler.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
That's
go ahead, Pastor.
People belong to him. That's just people belong to him. But as I said, you know, not everybody belongs to him because it's obvious that opinions go far and wide. But that's just what they are, whether they're good or bad or whether they're right or wrong, whether they're up or down. He still said, if, that's the key, if my people who are the called of my name. The first thing, and it always would be the first thing first, humble yourself. You know, that scripture talking about humble yourself up under the mighty hand of God, and he would exalt you in due time. Some people don't want, you know, to be exalted by him. They want to do their own thing and say, I've done this. This is what I did. I understand how it is. I was that kind of fool, so I understand what it is to do my own thing and to not acknowledge him, but I never pretended like I knew him, that I was going to call on him because I didn't know him. I didn't have no knowledge of him at all.
Okay.
But since you brought that scripture up, you know, I think it's fair, man, to know that if you want some healing, if you want to see things done properly, man, put it in his hand and let him show you the way, things like that. And so that's what I would say, you know, to the word. I'm not going to go by opinion because I don't do opinions very well. I'm not good at that no more.
Right. We know you don't get down like that. Don't get down like
that. No, I don't.
All right.
I've been a fool once.
Uh-oh.
That's more than enough. All right.
Well, let me pivot back to St. Louis just for a second. So the question St. Louis posed to you was, should individuals only be trained to function in a certain purpose in society, or should they be educated properly to be self-sufficient and autodidactic in nature?
Well, they should learn their civic responsibility, which is supportive and building onto their community. Their community should be left better off than what it was when they found it.
Interesting. Okay.
And you know, you're talking about history. Those history can be taught in organizations and so on. So you don't have, and the Bible is not a history book. It is not a history book.
Well,
history is real date, real people, real date, real events and occurrences.
Well, you know, we have disagreement on it, but let me hear you out.
Well, tell me, where is a history book? Give me one example. One event.
So if you understand the text, you realize that the English Bible in its writing is not necessarily the proper date. But anthropologically, sociologically, and historically, you can date back the times spoken of in the text, basically Hebrew text as well as the Masoretic text and things like that, without getting into that in detail. That's what I'm talking about in terms of the historical basis for it.
Where's the events that's historical? Those events aren't
all
historical.
Those events that, what I'm saying to you is that the events that have been translated what I'm suggesting, and we're not going to digress into all of that, but I'm just suggesting to you that there is, and maybe that's another time, there is a historical basis for the context of everything that's written in the Holy Bible. There's a historical basis for it. And that's a whole other show. That's a whole other show.
Yeah, that is a whole other discussion, but I still contend that I wouldn't let my children use it as a history book because it's just saying. One quote is 2 Kings 19:35, talking about the Assyrians, and said that mice ate up their quivers on their arrows. So no, that
okay. Well, we won't.
But
get
there's plenty of history. There's World War. There's the wars that this country went through. The Revolutionary War.
Okay. All right.
The War of 1812. And
all right.
Those are real places, real dates, real people, real occurrences.
All right. Here's a real date. Here's a real date. Here's a real date. December 18th, 1865. That's a real date. How about that? That was the date that
13th Amendment.
Yeah. And it opened the floodgates and the doors of opportunity to a particular ethnic group of people in America. Over
what did it do?
I'm going there. It could not do anything by itself. It was up to the people to do something about it. In the context of Black History Month in 2022, my question is, my encouragement is that we look at that historical seminal event and we ask ourselves in this present moment, how can we make that date meaningful to the young people who we find often uneducated, often exhibiting mental health issues and depression and things of that nature, engaged in all sort of destructive behaviors and divide. How can we take that and teach them as a part of Black History Month?
Well, first place, you need to tell them what it's about. And I don't know, what is it about?
Real quick. You're talking about the Emancipation Proclamation?
That date.
On that day, Congress ratified the 13th Amendment. See, Lincoln...
And what did it do?
Wait a minute. Hold on one second. Lincoln, through executive order in 1863, made a proclamation, but Congress finally made it a part of the law, made it law that it be... It's supposed to free or it's supposed to stop individuals from being subjugated to... forced labor and slavery against their will, except, that's what it said, they be caught with the commission of a crime.
Now there's two parts to that, right?
Go ahead.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
See, you got to teach your child or anybody else the whole history.
I agree with
not
you.
Not that which just sound good to make you feel good and elevate your self-esteem, but you got to teach the whole history.
Okay, go ahead.
What I tell my children regarding the Emancipation Proclamation, that proclamation is not a law. It's just a proclamation.
It was not.
In St. Louis, we had a proclamation for Jackie Robinson Day.
Okay.
After the day was over, it was gone. Second most important thing, it only applied to those that was within the Union forces. That was it.
Correct.
Not states, especially those that had separated because he had no control over them.
Correct.
And another thing, it did not apply to the nations known as Indian nations because they were sovereign nations. And the federal government had no authority over another nation, such as a Cuba, or Brazil, or France, a Cherokee, Creek, Choctaw, Chickasaw, and the rest. He had no authority over them. That's why they did not release their property until beginning in April of 1866 onto July the 7th. 1866 with the Cherokee, and they said this: if you want us to release our property, you got to pay us for it.
Got it.
Which eventually they did. Have you ever taught that?
Have I ever taught what? No, I haven't taught that.
But I just got you explaining.
No, I haven't taught that specifically. I'm
okay. Well, see, then that's why I come. You got to tell all sides of history. If not, the person will leave the room walking sideways.
Hold on, may I finish?
Yes,
so
sir.
I take your point, and I understand what you're saying. Specifically in the context, we were talking about people that were former slaves, not the Native Americans and those people. We were specifically talking about those that were former slaves. And as a part of Black History Month, relative to those people who were descendants of those slaves, it seems apropos. And here's where I want to put the pin at right, though. This is where I want to put the pin at. This is what I did teach, and I still teach it now. That clause that says, except that they be convicted of a crime. Now, I want to teach them how not to get caught in the trap of being a criminal. Then you don't have to worry about being free. That's what I want.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
That's the important part.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because when you lose your freedoms, when you are incarcerated, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
But as far as the releasing of slaves, it has to be known. It was peculiar because I hear people say, Lincoln freed the slaves. We got the Juneteenth. That is totally wrong. And that foreshows you the errors and the dangers in critical race theory, because that's all they talk about, lopsidedness of the story.
And I don't want to get lost in that, too, but you're correct. We have to teach history correctly. There are two dates, right? There are two dates relative to Lincoln. And Lincoln actually, one date, really, it came to fruition after he was gone, really. And that I'm speaking of 1868, the 14th Amendment, but more specifically, the 13th Amendment was ratified in 1865, on December 1865. And you know what happened to Lincoln in that same year. Right, we all know.
And the 14th Amendment didn't apply to slaves, really.
Well, it was. It's been interpreted by the Supreme Court to do so on many occasions.
No, it hasn't been. It ain't been interpreted by. It's plain as day. It says those from the point of time that it was ratified, those that's born in the United States and its territory, slaves are already born.
We can revisit the 1857 Dred Scott, and we won't get into that. That's a whole nother conversation. But my point here tonight is that relative to Black history, what can we teach in Black history other than just some things that sound good to the ear? You said you made that point. I agree with that. There are some things that we can teach young cats right now that will help them pull their pants up, look decent, and be competitive for some of the best opportunities across America and the world, I would argue. See, and that's what I want to know. What can we do with that? Because we ain't done that too well. We've been following Black History Month largely since 1976. Really, we can argue and say go back to 1933 when it was first introduced, or by the, you know, Woodson and others. But here we are now in 2022, gentlemen. And my concern is, these are just loose words, and I want to make them live. I want to make them alive. Let me just reiterate this point. One of the things I mentioned in the monologue is that I will focus on the 8th. The goal is to focus on Frederick Douglass and his contribution, and how can that be used by young people today in 2022. Dubois, William Edward Burghardt Dubois, and the philosophy and the idea that he brought to bear that can be useful, as well as Booker T. Washington. So this month, that's how we're going to focus on Black history, if you will. And I hope to analyze...
Just on those three?
Well, that's specifically what Talk Straight is going to focus on. We may be able to bring in conversation about other things and other people, but those three, these four, really, Carter G. Woodson, Frederick Douglass, Du Bois, and Washington. That's where our focus is.
What would you speak about on any of those three?
When you say what would I speak about?
Try Yeah, what would you, how would you associate? So is teaching history supposed to inspire people to look at someone who's done, made an achievement that's academic and productive?
I'm glad you asked that. No, that's not his primary goal. So let's look at this in a sociological context, okay? Every generation is supposed to learn from the prior generation and are supposed to make additional contributions beyond the preceding generation. History is the basis of knowing what the prior generation before you brought to bear or laid down. And it helps guide that next generation in the future to add to it and to only make the civilization better. You see, so history is not just something that you talk about, you know, academic things. It could be things that are non-academic in nature that are prevalent, that are important to the continuance of a people, of a subculture, of a group. Go ahead.
I'm well, you know me. I taught my children American mm-hmm. history.
Okay, so did I. Which
consists of all those that contribute to it.
Yes.
And to dispel a lot of these lies, like people said blacks wasn't allowed to go to school, okay, which is just not true. Blacks been going to school in this nation since its earliest times. Had to. I mean, just use common sense. Look at the 20-some-odd blacks that's participated on the Manhattan Project there in your state. Mm-hmm. They were physicists, chemists, chemical okay. engineers, electricians, mechanical engineers.
Right.
And this occurred in the early 40s, so that means 20 years ago they had to go to school in the 1920s.
Okay. It's true that they were not deprived an education. The argument was that because of segregation, they were not provided the best opportunities and resources historically as their white counterparts. That's, I'm not sure if when you say, people say they weren't allowed to go to school, if that's what you're speaking of. But
oh, that's what people say. And the same thing yeah. happened to all groups here in this country. They experienced the same type of discrimination.
Okay.
Just different of degree and level.
All right. Well, now, I like, you know, what I tell people, gentlemen, Pastor Wally in St. Louis, is that history is good as a reference point, but we don't want to get locked in any particular period of time. We've got to stay in the basis of reality for today. See, there's nothing we can do to go back a year or 100 years and change what has already happened. But what we can do, what we have the greatest opportunity to do, is to shape and direct what we're going to do today and tomorrow. And that's why I keep bringing it back. Go ahead.
And I agree with you, but people still do that. People go back and say, well, they don't want to pass the Voters' Rights Act. And yeah, blacks wasn't allowed to vote. Blacks wasn't allowed to vote. And see, that's just not true. So when you put that, when you put that excitement and mm-hmm. emotions into your statement, then try to blanket the whole categorical people that you are talking to as if they was related. Well, that's where the mess starts, and that's why I come.
Okay. Well,
you
let's not listen.
Careful.
Let's not listen to them, then. Okay. Let's not.
I don't. Thank you.
let's focus our attention on sensible things that are based in practical knowledge and reality. Let's do that. And from a practical standpoint, one of the best things about history is that it's recorded. Herodotus is said to be the father of modern history, and that's because he laid down some methodologies of recording history. One of them is to take people's events, the case studies of people's lives, to analyze them, right? And to have their real stories and artifacts that were left behind, family heirlooms and things of that nature, right? I would argue, St. Louis and Pastor Waller, that in the last, I'm going to say 60 years in the United States of America, there have been a lot of very important things that have happened and they're relics of those of the last 60 years that a lot of young folk don't even know about. And guess where you find them, Pastor Waller? Guess where you find them most often? You can find them in a thrift store, a secondhand store, quite often. But that's the one place many young people, I won't say all of them, but many young people shun, because that's what? Used stuff. I want the brand new Louis Vuitton, the Gucci, and Tommy Hilfiger. I want it got to have a brand new name on it now. And it, you understand, they're selling clothes now that come tore up with holes in it. I don't understand that, man. You know, St. Louis, I used to get whooped. I walked outside with tore up jeans on, and we get laughed off the block. But now you buy clothes.
In fact, that was how my jeans got holes in them from getting a whooping.
So, gentlemen, you see the difference in the time, and I'm just trying to tie this in to where we are today. And I use 60 years because that's only two generations. That's not a real long time ago, St. Louis. Not a real long time ago. Mm-hmm. And that's a time frame that I think you and Pastor Waller and I can identify with in our lifetime. But how many very, very important and powerful messages are lost because, I'm going to say we, and that I'm saying we because I'm including myself, have not effectively reached enough young folk to pass that information on to them to where it's transformative for them. And that's our challenge. Maybe we'll never get to it. I don't know. In our lifetime. What do you think, Pastor Waller?
Well,
you think we ever get there?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, 1 second. Pastor Waller, you think we ever get there? Where we make that difference?
Hey, do you know that when you talk about some of the things that the Bible talks about, you know what I mean? And I say this because didn't it say that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
I read that.
And
the fact
that history is when today we make it through it, look back over it, that's history.
Yes.
Like it or not. You know what I mean? I'm talking about what you're doing right now.
Hmm.
For the many years that you've been doing this,
mm-hmm.
you started one day. And when you look back over it, you can acknowledge that, hey, I remember when. Should you forget about that or should you appreciate what you have done thus far? Okay.
I see what you said.
That was a
guy.
See, when people have the advantage over people, they think they can do certain things because they feel like they have the advantage.
Mm.
Wasn't it a time when there used to be a bathroom that was had a sign says for white only, then the one says black only? Was that a time?
Yeah.
I mean, my head was bowed down in a position where I couldn't look up. So, but I used to hear people say things like that. I think, did that ever exist? And I don't want to say that it happened. But I'm asking
sure
question.
Did.
Well, no, you got to be more. You got to be more specific.
I'm talking right now, brother. My time.
Well, I'm
talking.
Just saying you have to be
nothing.
More specific because I'm
like
listening. I'm confused.
I never said nothing. I never said nothing while you was talking.
When you get done talking, I'll talk.
I ain't got nothing to do when I get through. I'm talking. I haven't said nothing while you was talking. Is what I'm saying.
I understand. I was really applied to Reuben, but go ahead. I'll reply to it. I'm sorry. I'll reply
to
it.
I'm not saying this to you. Brother.
I heard
you
say
you.
That. I said I was sorry.
But you still
God wants
you
to forgive. God wants you to forgive.
All right. You're still talking. You ain't going to let me finish.
All right. Go ahead.
So Pastor Docker, there was a guy. There was two guys. And one was in the NFL years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he played good ball.
Okay.
And, you know, he was he talked stuff. You know, he enjoyed what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell Owens or something like that is his name. But anyway, then this little guy that's in the NFL now, very good, fast as he can be.
Mm.
So they met up, and he was going racing, and he was going to give him a jump. He's going to give him a head start.
Okay.
And he knew he could go catch him and beat him because he's been out of the league. He's twice his age.
Mm.
Okay. It's got him in the lane, and the brother said, well, your mother said, go. They took off. You want to know who won? The
Who's
one that?
That
he gave the advantage to. The one that was in front, the older guy that, you know, he still beat him because he didn't think he was that fast. when you give him that much room, that means he got a head start. That means he's going to have the advantage. And he didn't catch up with him, even though he was fast. He still didn't catch up with him. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying today, as you're talking about making a difference, stand on the word of God, because being humble is something that's so powerful that it's like under the mighty hand of God. So that means to include him, to put him first, we're talking about making a difference. It's like seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I told you how long it's been since I was on that stuff. That's history. You said something about that. Did you not say something about that history? So I don't have to go back into what I don't know. I can say, hey, man, I can only extend what I do know, what I have learned. At least you're reaching out. You're an educator, brother, and you're doing something so grand that you're open to help people. But you're not just talking, man. See, when you're just talking just to try to make yourself be something that you're not, you're deceiving your own self. So I made sure that I don't just be doing it just trying to please my own self, because I'm going to deceive myself, and I make sure I stay humble every day because of that. And you know where I learned that at, Pastor Doctor?
Where's that?
I learned that from the Word of God, man. That's where I learned it from. Because in the streets, I didn't have no guidance. I didn't have no one to guide me, you know, into all truth. And somebody came out of a building and said something encouraging to me. He did not come down there to put me down, just said something encouraging, man. And, you know, and he stayed with me. I didn't go the day he came out there, but just thought of him encouraging me. Man, guess what I did later on? I went and visited the place. And sure enough, I got some help. So I can't knock the power of the Word of God. I got to stand on it and say, like it or not, it works for me. You know, and I've helped a lot of people as a result of that. So if I stop that, man, that would be a disrespect to I've learned according to the history. That's history, man.
All right.
That's history, brother.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Let me, St. Louis, you were trying to, you wanted to offer something, or you were asking.
Well, yeah, I did. And I'm very sorry to butt in before you was done. So I said, now, is that when people be making claims and say, we, it should be more specific, because people that's listening don't understand what they're talking about, especially like, for instance, we couldn't vote. Well, in my life, and I'm black, in my family, we ain't never experienced that. So you should be more specific when people are speaking along those lines. If not, then you're being deceitful, because you're taking advantage of people who are taking things for blank knowledge rather than being specific. And that's all I thought. I ain't never had no experience where I couldn't vote. I guess you're talking about we. I don't know who this we is, and that that need to be spelled out.
Well, in my adult life, I've never not had an opportunity to vote when and for who I wanted to. So I understand what you're saying. There were people who went to the polls. There's a record, though, however, St. Louis, of people who particularly, I don't like to use them, but for the sake of our conversation, blacks or Negroes who historically went to vote and they were actually hung because some other folk told them, you better not do it, right? There's a record of that in America, and that was protected by Jim Crow laws in the South, in several states. So to say that that did not exist would be incorrect as well. However, there were, in fact, Condoleezza Rice, my daughter had the opportunity to meet Condoleezza Rice when she was in high school. She was selected as one of those people who went to a women's business thing. But I said that to say that Condoleezza Rice shared with them her personal story when she met her. And she said to them that her father went down in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, to go vote. And there was a Democratic desk and a Republican desk at the voter's place. And he went over to the Democrat desk first And the guy told him if he could tell him, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, how many jelly beans were in the jar, he would let him vote. And he was disheartened by that. So he left, and the next day, this fella that was watching this, a Republican, told him, if you come over here and you join the Republican Party, I'll let you vote today. He did that, and she said their family been voting Republican ever since then. That's what she shared with
what?
Now, I'm not suggesting
that
anybody...
Hang on, Mr. Wallace, he's talking.
Hold on.
I didn't miss that part you said about if he came over to the desk.
If he came,
you ain't saying nothing to me, man. What are you talking about, man? I ain't saying nothing.
You talking? I can't hear what he's trying to say.
All right,
gentlemen. I haven't said nothing to you, brother.
Okay.
But you are talking while he's trying to explain to me the situation, and I'm not your brother.
Gentlemen,
go ahead.
Gentlemen.
Man, you need to go on with friends.
There you go.
You let him talk. Let him talk. You just be quiet. Let him talk.
I'm trying to let him talk. I was listening to him. You said something about the man, say, if he come over where? And that's when other noise came in.
A Republican that was in the same election office said to Condoleezza Rice's father that if you come and join the Republican Party, I will allow you to cast your vote today. And he did. And the point she was making is that is why her family had been voting Republican ever since that time.
Oh, okay. I've heard about that. You know, in Missouri, blacks are paid to go to vote. Elvis, did you know that?
Who pays them? I thought that was illegal. Who pays them to go to vote?
No, the state says that you have to be let off. The law says that you have to be allowed 3 hours before the polls close to go vote. In other words, if you get off, the polls close at 7 o'clock in Missouri.
Okay.
And if you usually get off at 4:30, that's only 2.5 hours before the polls close. So they have to let you off 4 o'clock and pay you that half hour.
So basically what my understanding is, the way that works is just like your break time, you're not paid for your break, but you're given so many breaks. And that's what that's viewed as. Not that they're paying you. They're not compensating you for going to vote, but they have to make assignments just
you
like
have to show if you want to get paid, you got to bring back a paper stating that you wouldn't vote.
If not, you're
going to be short a half hour.
You're
getting paid to go vote. I had to pay my employees that full 8 hours, even though they left at 4 o'clock.
I get what you're saying. Okay, I'll leave that alone. That I don't think we're going anywhere with that. So, but okay.
You mean tell me you don't do that in Tennessee?
No, sir. They don't pay you to vote. No, sir. They don't pay you to vote.
Oh, well, you just proved the point that everybody throughout the country don't experience the same thing, even when it comes to voting.
Well, I don't have any problem with acknowledging that.
Thank you, sir.
Every state have their own voting laws, and in fact, my understanding is the Constitution empowers each individual state to set their own laws for voting.
Each legislator, you're absolutely right, sir.
And both federal and state elections. So, but anyway, we've been talking from the topic, the father of Black History Month. And we've been talking about the contributions of Carter Goodwin Woodson, 1875 to 1950, and his contributions to what we now call Black History Month. My hope as host and facilitator here in our discussions is to be able to identify how not only him, but three other central individuals. And as a student of history, I like to focus on Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, and Booker T. Washington the rest of this month. And on Tuesday nights, that's what our goal is to identify their contributions and, most importantly, how we can use that. I'm going to say how I can use that as a teaching tool for most at-risk young folk, not only in America, but specifically in urban America. So my hope is to be able to find a couple of other individuals that we can bring on to be our guests and kind of share their perspective on this and help us to really drive that dialogue and conversation. So we appreciate it. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and wrap up our show for tonight, though, and
hey, Pastor,
encourage
can,
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey,
yes, sir. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Pastor, didn't you have didn't you say something about teaching some people some things, right? And then you have an opportunity. The scripture says, according to Psalms 133 and verse 1, it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Did the word say that?
It did say that.
I just want to make sure. And I used to listen to, I didn't know nothing about that then. And I used to listen when I was in the streets. There was a guy who used to sing a song saying, brother's going to work it out. don't give me no peace and let your meaning in your heart. You see?
Right.
See, that's when you,
right.
when you stand on that. And yeah, that was in the streets now. And then I came over into the ministry and found out that the word of God does say how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Then
that's
the
right.
word said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed upon? So when you started this show, you know what I mean? And I know you happen to be the one who's open, and you even give people a chance to straighten you out. You don't mind if you can be straightened out. You even offer it.
No problem.
I've heard you say it many times.
Yes,
I've heard
that's
you say it
true.
Many times. Take this because you are the one who started the show,
mm-hmm.
and it's been amazing how humble you have been, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I just say to you, the scripture that you used earlier, and that's why I'm standing on that, because you brought it up. When you say, if my people, you can tell when you belong to him, because you say my people.
Right, right.
You
right,
didn't
right.
say we, you say my people.
Right.
If
right.
my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, man. Look, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then seek his face. Turn from that wickedness, man. You know, that's what the word says.
That's
because
what
if you don't turn from, you're not going to get that hook up with him, and that's why that will continue. So I'm just
Correct.
Encouraging you, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank
because
you,
it's working, brother. I'm telling
Thank
you, it's
sir.
Working, man. I mean, you're doing a good job at it. That's what I
yes,
want to
sir.
Say.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And as we wrap up, hold tight there, Pastor. I'm gonna do as we normally do and have you close us out here. But let me, in normal fashion, offer other participants there, St. Louis, an opportunity for a final word before we get out of here tonight.
You know, it's funny you mentioned about Willie Hutch's song, Brother Gonna Work It Out.
Right,
I wasn't
right,
allowed
right.
to look at that movie. Because my understanding, the movie talked about prostitution,
it did.
Pimps, and
it
exploitation
did.
Of human beings, black women. I was not allowed to look at that. And I would suggest, because people do what they want to. My
right.
children wasn't allowed to look at such stuff like that neither. Because you need to look at the good thing. You know, I made history myself in St. Louis and the buildings and bridges and things I put up.
Okay.
But
okay.
No, I wasn't allowed to look at that, and I wouldn't allow my children to look at neither. Look at that either. But anyway, I want to thank you.
Yes, sir.
And,
thank you for joining us.
Maybe
sir.
We'll see you next week.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. And so you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery, and we got our co-host, Pastor Rick Wallon, with us, who is going to wrap us up for the night. And our discussion has been, again, the father of Black History Month. So the rest of February, on Tuesday nights, we're going to be having discussions relative to Black History Month, okay? And as I announced earlier, Frederick Douglass, our goal is to focus on him on the 8th, Tuesday the 8th, Tuesday the 15th, William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. And on Tuesday the 22nd, Booker T. Washington. Now, some people try to pit Du Bois and Washington against one another. In fact, they offered that they were in a great debate with one another about how to advance forward progress for Negroes, as they were aptly called then, right? Black folk. But I would argue that both of these men had one thing in common, and that was their sincere desire and love to see people that at that time were called Negroes succeed. But because other people were injecting their ideas and instigating the dialogue, the conversation between them, things got twisted and messed up like they were pitted against one another. They even tried to suggest the same thing about Dr. King and Brother Malcolm, Malik El-Haj Shabazz. Both of these brothers, when they went to sleep, they understood that it's only one people and one fight. I wish I had a witness right there. But anyway, we'll be coming back for the next week there. But tonight, I'm going to ask my good friend, Pastor Rick Awala, if he would give us a closing thought on our topic here tonight, the father of Black History Month, Carter Woodson, your perception of him, just what you've heard. Pastor Awala, you have the floor.
All right, Pastor Doctor, it's been a joy, man, to know that you're keeping hope alive.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're reaching out, as the word does say, you know, you have to be always ready, you know, because you never know the avenue of distraction, you know what I mean? And that's what you have to continue to stand on, because this one thing I've learned, Pastor Doctor, is that when I didn't know it. My coach used to tell me when he had the bat and the ball in his hand on the softball field, and we was playing in. And he said, you never know which way I'm going to hit the ball. He can be looking down first base where I'm at, and he'll hit it down third base. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So you never know
never
which route the enemy is coming from, you see, but
wow.
You got to be ready. So I just want you to know that the word does say that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Then he says, behold, which means you pay attention because all things become new. So we just thank God for the newness of life and to realize you're reaching out to help people that still living the way they're living it. Maybe they can come over and realize that if they just get in Christ, they will become a new creature, man. And the community is filled with those type of people because I came from that, and I appreciate you reaching out to them like you're doing. And I yield back to you on that note.
All right. Well, with that, we thank you, my friend. And we will look forward to seeing you guys on next Tuesday, February 8th, for another discussion on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Docker, our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. And until then, we'll see you on next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m., right here on Talk Straight.
The truth and no more lies. We won't feel just about equality.